Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
I heard a story about two men who were both seriously ill. They were in the hospital and they shared the same hospital room. One man was actually allowed to sit up in bed for about an hour each afternoon. During that hour, it was a time for the fluid in his lungs to be able to settle and to drain from his lungs. His bed was next to the room's only window. The other man spent most of his time on the other side of the room, lying flat on his back. The men soon became good friends. They talked for hours. Every afternoon, when the man in the bed by the window was allowed to sit up, he would pass the time by describing to his roommate all the things that he could see outside the window. He would describe a park with a lake and ducks and swans and children playing and sailing their little boats. He described trees that were swaying in the summer breeze and purple mountains that skirted in the background. As the man by the window would describe all of these things, the man on the other side of the room who was lying on his back would just close his eyes and he would imagine all of these picturesque things. Then one day, without any announcement, a thought entered the mind of the man who was without a window. And he thought for a minute and he said, "Why should he have all the pleasure of seeing everything outside that window? I never get to see anything. It isn't fair." At first, when he had that thought, he kind of felt a little ashamed. But as the days went by, the conversations between the men dwindled. Envy turned to bitterness and resentment. Envy and jealousy began to control his life. Late one night, as he lay there seething and staring at the ceiling, the man that was in the bed by the window began to cough, and he was choking on the fluid that was in his lungs. The other man just sat there and listened as the man struggled by the window, groping for a button to call the nurse. He listened, but he never moved. He never even pushed the button that would have brought a nurse running into the room. It only lasted for a few minutes. The coughing and the choking stopped, along with the sound of labored breathing. Then there was silence, only deadly silence. The man thought to himself, "When it seems appropriate, I'm going to ask to be moved to that window." And so one day he said to the nurse, "Would you mind if my bed was moved to the window so I too could see out?" And the nurse was happy to make the switch. As soon as the nurse had left the room, the man struggled to sit up in bed. He inched forward with imagined joy of seeing all of those sights outside of that window. And as he looked, he saw a brick wall. How sad, but not so unusual, because the landmines of jealousy and envy are in every path. Now, maybe you're like me, and as I prepare for these messages and I look at what the next section is about, I think, this is going to be easy. Or maybe you come in this morning and you get the bulletin and you think, landmine of jealousy. Oh, this should be a little easier than prideful heart. Don't be fooled. Jealousy and envy seem to sneak into our lives without any announcement. They are among the many landmines that Satan uses to explode in our lives. Today I want to take you to a biblical account where envy and jealousy had a difficulty in a family. And so I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. We're going to look briefly at a portion of Joseph's life. Beginning with verse 1, it says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field. Then suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Here in our text, in verse 2, we are introduced to Joseph. Joseph was growing up in what we today would call a blended family. His father was a polygamist, and there were several wives, and he had 10 stepbrothers and a stepsister, all living in the same home. Joseph was the firstborn of his father's favorite wife, Rachel. And as we can tell from this text, Joseph was daddy's favorite. Verse 3 tells us that Jacob, or also known as Israel, loved Joseph more than his other sons. And he demonstrated that probably in various ways, but here it tells us that he made him a tunic of many colors. Now that it's described as a richly ornamented robe. The language that is used in the original describes a robe that would have been that of a king, somebody who was in power. The robe would have not only been ornate, but it probably would have gone down to the ankle and down to the wrist. The brothers would have been dressed in much less elaborate clothing, probably sleeves to here, probably a length closer to the knee, because they were workers. They had to labor hard. They couldn't have some robe that they were tripping over or sleeves that they were getting their arms caught in. They would have been dressed for work. And Joseph would have been dressed to be the king, to be the ruler. And of course, the whole idea just made the brothers upset. In addition to being daddy's favorite and receiving favoritism, Joseph was also a bit of a snitch. It tells us in the beginning of our text that Joseph brought a bad report about his brothers. Now, Joseph's brothers came to hate him for all of this. Let me ask a question. How many of you were the baby in your family, the youngest child? look at all these young children. I'm one of those people too. And I can relate to this. Now, and those of you that you're raising kids, and I hear this all the time, Adam will always say, oh, I had to do more than everybody else. Or he will say, he had it harder than everybody else. And we know that, you know, you might be raising 2, 3, 4, 5 kids, and when they're all there at the same time, it's a little tough sometimes to make things work. And then when you get down to one, you can spoil them to death, and it doesn't really matter anymore. And that's what sometimes happens. You also know, if you're the youngest child, that sometimes your older siblings did things and you were privy to it. And hey, you know, it was worth a few extra points if you went and told mom and dad. And I kind of remember being a snitch at times, and probably you do too. And so this is the kind of tension that was growing in Jacob's family. There were all of these children. There were 12 children there, and all this carrying on. And actually, there were more than 12 children, because I'm just mentioning sons. And so the reality is there was a lot of tension. And so the brothers were jealous. In fact, if you can just see the progression. In verse 4, it says they hated him, and they could not speak a kind word to him. And then in verse 8, it says, and they hated him all the more because of this dream. And if you look at verse 11, it says his brothers were jealous of him. And so jealousy and envy and hatred and discord were just all wrapped up in the family dynamics. Is jealousy and envy an issue for you? Let's find out. Today I want to share with you three truths, and if you will take your outline, we'll take a look at the first one. And truth number one says this: the landmines of jealousy and envy are often fueled by anger and fear. Jealousy is a landmine, and it's a landmine that hits hard. Joseph's brothers witnessed unfair treatment. They witnessed their father's love for Joseph, and probably as it started, you know, they kind of like, hey, wait a minute, something's not quite right. After a while, perhaps they, you know, he gets this coat of many colors, and they probably like, they cringed. But you know, as time went on, their hearts were filled with anger. That anger led to fear, and actually led to a plot, as you know, to get rid of him, to kill him. Satan loves it when we fix our eyes on ourselves, on having our own rights fulfilled, of having our needs fulfilled, when we focus on what we would classify as injustices. He tempts us to think, hey, wait a minute, what about me? Hey, I think I deserve a little bit more. I earned it. Or to think about things and say, you know what, it isn't fair. It just isn't fair. And as we dwell thinking about those kinds of things, soon our hearts are fueled with anger. We become fearful that we will never get what we deserve. And before you know it, we're overcome with jealousy and envy. Now, even though jealousy and envy are often terms that are interchangeable, jealousy actually talks about a fear that we will never get what is due to us, or that somebody will take away what we have. Envy is the displeasure that we feel when somebody else seems to have more possessions or more popularity or more prosperity than we do. But both are extremely destructive. And today I want to show you how they're destructive. And in truth number two, it says the landmines of jealousy and envy have deadly consequences. Deadly consequences. And certainly all sin has consequences. And jealousy and envy is deadly because it affects us three ways. The first bullet on your outline says, jealousy and envy affect us spiritually. What really happens is that as we become filled with jealousy and envy, it prevents us from enjoying God's blessings. If we see someone who is advancing before us, we can become jealous, we can become envious, and we can ultimately become angry at God. Somehow we can say, hey God, you know what? This isn't fair. Like the man in the hospital, we can say, wait a minute, I'm sick too. How comes I don't get a window? How comes I don't get to see all of these things out there? It's not fair. And anger and bitterness creeps into our lives. We begin to reason that somehow that God is just dealing us a bad hand, if you will. Eventually, we begin to say, you know, wait a minute. I come to church. I, like, serve you this way. I do this. I do that. I'm like the Pharisee, you know, hey, I give a tenth of my income. I know your law. I read your word. I do all of this. How come that person over there that seems to just shake their fist in your face all the time, God, how comes they have more than I do? How comes every time I look over there, they have a new car or they have a bigger house or they just seem to be blessed so much more than me? And we begin to become jealous and envious over those who seem to enjoy more blessing, and we begin to question God's goodness. And it hinders our relationship with God. It hinders our fellowship with Him. Eventually, we come to a point where we might read God's word, but it's only ink on a page. It comes to a point that we might spend time trying to pray, and we feel like our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling because we are no longer trusting God's goodness. We're not trusting God's faithfulness. All of our imagined injustice is deteriorating a relationship with God and hurting us spiritually. Second bullet says, jealousy and envy affect us relationally. Not only does it affect our relationship with God, but when we begin to focus on injustices, we have our eyes on other people. And when we look at those that don't deserve it, and we see them get ahead, they have more success, they have more friends, they're more popular, they're more prosperous, all of a sudden, we trip the wire and we detonate a landmine of jealousy and envy. Jealousy and envy, when that landmine explodes, they become the preoccupation of our lives. Now, certainly not us, but other people we know. We've seen people, not us, that developed a critical spirit where everything is negative. Somebody says something nice about this person and got to come in with something to make that go away. We somehow have to bring all of their prosperity down. We become competitive. We become preoccupied with getting ahead of them. That's all we think about. Like the man in the hospital bed, that all he thought about was looking out that window. We can become preoccupied thinking, whatever it takes, I am going to outdo that person. I am going to win over that person. Now, understand, competition isn't a bad thing in some ways, but when it becomes our lifelong need and it affects every area of our life, competition is a problem. Our hearts become filled again with anger and bitterness and resentment. Pretty soon, friendships are destroyed. Because of our inability to deal with others, we find that we're often overlooked. We're often overlooked as a friend. We're often overlooked for opportunities. We find ourselves getting farther and farther and farther behind. Why? Because jealousy and envy affect us relationally. Third bullet says, jealousy and envy affect us physically. Bitterness, resentment, hostility, anger, jealousy, envy, these are just stepping stones to physical disease. Doctors will often tell where somebody's emotional disposition can cause illness. We've all heard of individuals who kind of were eaten away by such issues. Unfortunately, sometimes emotional or physical illness results from bitterness and eventually feelings of despair and hopelessness. Jealousy and envy can really be the root of depression. Not clinical depression, but the feelings of hopelessness and helplessness. Jealousy and envy have deadly consequences. They affect our relationship with God. They affect our relationships with one another. And they affect ourselves physically. So what do we do? Truth number three. Jealousy and envy can be conquered with God's help. We need to understand that it is our nature, our human nature, to want to have our needs fulfilled. You want to know if that's true? Give one toddler a lollipop and don't give one to the other and see what happens. Did you have to teach the child to desire that lollipop? No. They knew they wanted it. It's just that simple. And that is the way we are. It is part of our nature to desire, to look with desire on what others have. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred and discord. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. You see, because of our selfish nature, we are easily lured to the landmines of jealousy and envy. How do we overcome that? Can we do it ourselves? Absolutely not. We can try, but I believe we would fail. And so I want to share with you four steps. Maybe, the landmine of jealousy and envy has a place somewhere in your life. Here are the steps. Step number one, admit your sins of jealousy and envy. You know, the proverbial statement that the first step in dealing with a problem is admitting that there's a problem. Here it is. Perhaps today, as you listen to this message, you were reminded of some critical ideas you have about certain things or certain people. Maybe you were reminded about how angry you get when you see that person that has no regard for God get ahead of you. When you see that person that, you know, is just not dedicated to their job. Every time the boss is gone, they lay back and sleep and do nothing productive. But, you know, they just got the promotion and you didn't. Maybe you look at your neighbor and you say, you know, I go to work every day. I work long hours. I work hard. And, you know, and I live in this, you know, this house, and it's okay. But, you know, I look at those people down the street. They don't work a day in their lives, and it just seems like they have more cars and newer cars. And you know, you kind of just wonder about those things. Maybe, just maybe, jealousy and envy are really part of the way we think. Maybe they're more of a problem than we want to admit. About this point in my preparation of the sermon, I came to one realization. I got to tell you, my spelling without a spell checker these days is completely handicapped. And it took me about this far to realize what the last five letters of jealousy really are. Lousy. Lousy. And that's the effect it has on our lives. And so the best thing that we can do is go before God and admit that it is a problem. The purpose of these messages is not to make us feel like, oh, such raunchy sinners, but to help us to deal with some of these things that might be preventing us from growing spiritually. They might just be preventing us from being what God wants us to be as He works in us. And God can't work in us as effectively when we have all this junk in our hearts. And so the first step is to admit. And in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And so that's the first step, admission. Step number two. Acknowledge the conflict with God and others. You know, maybe you need to acknowledge the fact that you've been saying to God, hey, God, this just isn't fair. This just is not fair, God. Maybe you need to acknowledge the conflict that you have with somebody else. Constantly competing. Family members competing against family members. Acknowledge the fact that jealousy and envy are hindering your relationship with God and your relationship with other people, and maybe even hindering your own health. Step number three, act to bring about restoration. You see, if you realize the presence of jealousy or envy and you acknowledge it as the source of conflict, you have to act on it. Seek to restore your relationship with God. Seek to restore the broken relationship that envy and jealousy has caused among friends or family members. Begin to praise, encourage, and get this, even pray for those that you have been critical of and contending with. Again, we need God's help. We need God's Spirit. Because in Galatians 5, 20 through, 22 through 26, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he says, against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And in verse 25, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And then step four, ask God to give you the victory. You see, it is our human nature to be jealous. It is our human nature to desire what somebody else has. It is our human nature to envy, to weigh the scales and decide if things are really fair or they're not. But God is able to give us victory even over jealousy and envy. Ask God to give you a thankful heart, a heart that is thankful for the blessings that God gives you. Ask God to help you to love those who are more prosperous and more popular than you. And you know what? When we lose our preoccupation with jealousy and envy, we can discover God has plans specifically for us. Plans that are specifically engineered for who He has created us to be. We can focus our eyes upon Him and enjoy the blessings. The landmine of jealousy and envy is very destructive, and potentially it is in every one of our pathways. As individuals, we're tempted to look at those who have more possessions, who have more prosperity, who have more popularity, and we begin to compare ourselves. As individuals, that can be very destructive. But it's not just on an individual basis. Even as a ministry, we can look at ourselves and we can say, hey, you know what? We're preaching the word, we're doing this, we're doing that. You know, how comes that church has so many more people than we do? How comes that church doesn't have to deal with financial worries as we do? How comes that church has all of whatever that when we don't? And we can begin to play a ministry comparison game as much as we can play that game individually. As individuals and as a ministry, we need to be what God has called us to be. Faithful. Faithful. We need to ask ourselves a couple questions this morning as we close. First question is this: are the landmines of jealousy and envy evident in your life? Second question: will you take the necessary steps to overcome them? That's really the bottom line. Doesn't matter if they're there. What matters is, will you deal with them? Heavenly Father, we thank You. Even for the story of Joseph. Because it shows us how we are so much like his family. How easy it is for us to become jealous or envious of others. How easy it is for us to question Your goodness, to question Your blessings. How easy is it for us to begin to become critical and competitive with others to the point that it hurts relationships. Father, forgive us for those landmines that would hinder our relationship with You. Forgive us for those landmines that would hinder our relationships with one another. Even for those that would hurt ourselves. Father, we ask that through Your Spirit, You would help us to be sensitive to any hint of jealousy and envy. Help us, Father, to have hearts that are filled with gratitude and thanks. To keep our eyes focused on You, Father, the One who has called us out of darkness into light, the One who has given us a Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and help us to gain victory over those selfish ways. Father, I pray that as we deal with these landmines in our lives, that we would experience a freshness in our relationship with You and a freshness in our relationship with one another. Lord, that Your will for us as individuals, that your will for us, even as a ministry, would be accomplished for your glory. And we all ask this together in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.